You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 306 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is one of our most frequent guests.
And most popular guests.
And most popular, the one and only Tanya Janka.
Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you have been on three episodes in the past, dating all the way back to 2018. And I was just thinking to myself today, this podcast has been following your career, I think, since you were at Microsoft. And that's a long time ago.
It has been a while since then. I've done a lot of stuff.
You have. So I want to talk to you about your recent adventures. We got to talk for a little bit at B-Sides Las Vegas this year, and you were at a booth of your new company, which is called SemGrep. So
yes.
How did all of that happen this year?
So SemGrep bought WeHack Purple this summer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. And it sounds weird, but it happened in this weird roundabout way where we had gone through an acquisition process last year that didn't work out. And so then I sort of said like, oh, that didn't work out. And I like, you know, I gave back their little deposit they'd given me. And so now, you know, WeHack Purple is on its own. And I actually had an offer later that week to start acquisition discussions. And so I ended up having many offers and I ended up getting into a bidding war with a few companies. Yeah, which was like really a surprise. Like I've never felt so wanted before.
Good problem to have. Yeah.
Yeah. But I felt like SemGrep's vision. So like, you know, offers are nice and money is nice. I like money, just to be clear. But a lot of money for a vision that I really don't agree with is different than good money for a vision I love. And so, you know, like there were offers of like, well, we'll just like, you know, put everything you've ever done behind a paywall and you're never going to do free stuff again. And I'm like, oh, that sounds unappealing. And SemGrep's like, let's do the opposite. Let's do everything for free. So they, as you know, have an open source version of their platform. Then they give the paid version away for free a lot too. And so I was like, you know, I want to get my message across of securing software. I want to share information. I want to train as many people as we can. I want to build up our industry and our knowledge base. So the cost of education isn't so foreboding. Is that the word?
Because you use that word.
When I switched in, it was so hard. There, you know, there wasn't an AppSec course for starters. There wasn't an AppSec book, but even just, so you were mentioning earlier how me and Scott are both Canadian. So our dollar's not quite worth as much as the American dollar. And we also pay a lot of income tax. And so I remember explaining to someone, oh, one SANS class is 20% of my take home for the entire year. And they're like, excuse me. I'm like, it's a bit above like 11, like it's over 20%. Yeah. And so that means never going out for dinner again, like not buying lunch at work, like for a whole year. So I could do one class. I'm like, that's not reasonable. So when I was talking with SemGrep and they're like, would it be weird if we just give everything you've done away for free? I'm like, what? And so we're about to open up a SemGrep Academy. And basically, you know, most of the courses from WeHack Purple are going to go there. They're all going to be free. And then we're going to just start building more and more content. And I'm not the only one building content now, which is really exciting because they have all sorts of cool people that work there, like Clint Gibbler. And lots of people who are very knowledgeable in this space. So it's like, oh, like, what if I helped you turn all that awesome knowledge into a class?
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting. I'm just on my fourth month and it feels like time has flown. I'm like, why is this not done already? They're like, you've just got here. Calm down.
Yeah. 4 months is not a long time, but yeah, I'm really happy about your move. Good people over at SemGrep. I know Clint and a few others, and it's really exciting to see the move that you made. And I think the impact too, because SemGrep is just an up and coming, you know, solution that more companies I think are starting to see as this is very valuable.
Yeah. And we're weird. And our tools are weird. And they're different, and we're trying to be, like audacious and innovative, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like recreating the same wheels that everyone else has already done an awesome job of. And so they just released a new product, Secrets, like 2 weeks ago. And so they're like, oh, we're not going to find secrets the way other people find secrets. People are always doing that. We're going to do it in this brand new weird way. I'm like, yeah.
Love it. So one of the things we always talk about when you're on the show is obviously AppSec, but more so what's really changed this year. And I think we've seen a big change just in cybersecurity in general this year from a lot of aspects. But I'm really curious to know, just in your opinion, what's kind of gotten better and maybe what's gotten worse from your perspective?
Okay, I have so many thoughts. Okay, so one, I used to try to gather metrics and I would use Microsoft Excel. Then I discovered Defect Dojo and I was like, this is good. Since 2021, basically a whole bunch of ASOC, application security, orchestration, correlation tools. So tools that like suck up all the results of all of your tools have started to exist. There's so many of them now. And first of all of them are SunGrep under the hood, which I find very humorous. Like if you walk around at like on the booth, it's like, oh, like half of you guys are built on us. That's cool. We're friends. Let's hug. But they're helping you find context. Like we're realizing as an industry, we need to mature and grow up. And we can't just run like one scanner and be like, pew, pew, let's fix some of those. Instead, it's like, let's have a holistic approach that uses data that's driven on like more than just a CVE score. And so I'm excited by that, like that programs are maturing, because I still meet with companies that have no AppSec program at all and help them launch their first programs. And so that's happening way less often, like maybe 3 or 4 times this whole year compared to every month last year.
That's promising. No, I kid you.
Companies you know the names of.
Yeah. Oh, I believe
it. With nothing. And so now like we're starting to mature. We're like, we want data. We want maturity. We want to, you know, look at risk from like an entire organization perspective and how can we do the absolute best with the limited resources we have. So that's exciting. Another thing that's interesting is I saw an article this week. So I don't know if you've heard of how there's millions of open cybersecurity jobs with no person to do them. So someone went and did a paper on that and was like, oh, it's not true, actually. There's no evidence that was presented. So it turns out ISC Squared released a survey and they surveyed 15,000 people and lots of them said there were open jobs, but there was no person that counted millions of open jobs, which I found really shocking.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I've always wondered, like, why do we have all these people having trouble breaking into cybersecurity and then we're supposed to have millions of open jobs that no one is qualified to do? And WeHack Purple was really trying, that was the company that I owned. We were trying so hard to bridge that gap just for the security of software. So just for application security types of jobs. And we helped a couple hundred people join the industry, which I am very proud of. But that doesn't help when there's 1 million or 2 million or 3 million jobs. That's like spitting into a bucket and pretending you're going to fill the bucket this year.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to work. Yeah. And so it's not actually as bad, I think, as people have been saying it is, because they're like, oh, there's 10 million jobs. And I was like, really? And so seeing someone actually do some research on that was exciting. And I could send you a link later if you want. I did not do that research, just to be clear. But that's interesting. So we have people that want jobs. I think the problem is getting them qualified and experienced enough that someone wants to take a risk and hire them. And I'm hoping to help with that with my new job. But I also am seeing a bit of change from academia, like a small amount of change, like a small improvement, like very small. Not as much as I was hoping for by now.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
Okay, so other things that I'm seeing, cybercrime still happening. We're still getting owned all the time. And I was kind of hoping that story would be over.
It's not getting any better. No.
Like, it's different things that are causing problems. So it used to be everyone had S3 buckets that were open all the time. And now we pretty much never hear about that. So we've learned, just like the OWASP top 10 had to take some of the things off the top 10 because they're not happening as often. And that's great news. But we still have to have a top 10. We have like 6 top 10s now because there's so many. We have a medical devices top 10. We have a serverless, an IoT, like an API. Like we have so many top 10s
AI.
Now. Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember I had to do a report on that for a client. Yep. I also think another thing that I'm seeing is that everyone thinks AI is going to do everything it's ever dreamed of. And it's just doing a little bit of stuff. And that little bit of stuff is very helpful. But it's not where it needs to be yet. I think that a lot of people are making mistakes with AI that we made with all the other stuff that came before it. Like, oh, serverless, this is so exciting. I'm not going to validate my input. Why would I do that? No one would ever attack a serverless app.
Yeah.
And so we're falling into similar traps with AI. Like, for instance, I fell into a trap when I was writing my press release to say SendGrep bought us. And used my AI copywriting tool to help give me ideas. And then it was like, check out this article. And then I realized, oh, this is sensitive information. No one knows they've acquired us yet. I shouldn't be telling this silly AI. What if it tells someone else? I'm like, oh no. And so I like fell into that with not like, I mean, we were about to release the next day. So it's not like it was a state secret, but I was just like, oh, if I can fall into that and I think I'm smart. Lots of people can fall into that trap. So I think, I think some of us need, including me, refreshers on new technology. Don't forget all the things you already know.
One of the things I wanted to jump to was a question that Scott had. What's the most important thing that you can see that can be improved when looking at like the average enterprise application security training program? And then thinking of developers, right?
Mm-hmm. So I would say the average application security program doesn't have training. I would say a lot of them, like when I would come in and give training with We Hack Purple, almost every time I was the first time they've ever had training.
Really?
Wow. Or they bought a platform. I will not name any of them. And they're like, we bought this cool platform that has cool lessons in it and no one wants to do them. No one is willing to sit down and do them. We're told it's like a video game and it's cool and there's a mission or whatever. And our devs are like, I don't have time for this crap. I have work to do.
Yeah.
And so can you come in and get them really excited so that then they'll do their homework? And I'm like, yes, I can do that.
Nice.
And we can do the homework together a bit too, right? Like I can work with whatever system you've got. So I would say giving them any sort of training. And the training doesn't, so as a person who sold training and made lots of money on this, you don't always have to hire a third party trainer. Like that's how I started giving training was I worked at the government and we wanted to hire someone to give training and it was just so out of our budget. And because of the exchange rate, sending them to a training academy, like any of the ones that I think are really good. So I think SANS is very good, just to be clear. We couldn't afford to send all the people on the team. Like we could send one person and all the rest of the team got to learn nothing. And we felt that was not going to go over well. And so it was like, okay, well, you know, Tanya's going to go learn a bunch of stuff and then teach all of us. And then Tanya's going to learn more stuff, teach all of us. And so I just ended up learning how to learn and learning how to teach because that was a cheaper way because we couldn't afford to send everyone. And I also discovered I don't know what the word is for this, secretly, selfishly. If you speak at a conference, you get in free. And you get to learn from all the other smart people for free.
Yeah.
And so I started submitting talks everywhere so that I could go and just watch the other talks. I'm like, joke's on you guys, right?
That's great.
And so I started just trying to get in everywhere so that I could learn and just be better at my job. And so if you work somewhere and you know the types of problems that your teams keep stumbling over, either create training on that if you can't afford someone to come in, or spoiler alert, look at open source types of communities that share content. So WeHackPurple is going to share all of our content in the SEMGREP Academy, but also like OWASP, the OWASP YouTube channel. It's amazing. They have that, like they could release a completely amazing video every day of the year and not run out.
Nice.
They have so much good content. And so go look up their stuff or go to the OWASP cheat sheets. Go look at my book, Alice and Bob, whatever the thing is that you're having problems with, look it up and teach your team about that. So you stop stumbling over the same mistakes. Because as a consultant, I'll go do scans. I'm like, oh, everyone apparently likes to create cross-site scripting. This is their favorite thing. Or no one's using the security headers that are totally part of the policy, and they're part of the policy for a reason. And so if you create a lesson, especially if it has to do with your business model or your mission of your organization, like we need these security headers because of whatever, like when I worked at elections, because of voter suppression. We need to make sure we are always legitimized and it is obvious it's us, and it's obvious if it's not us, right? And so we need these headers because. And when you link it to your mission, that's even better. And an external trainer can't necessarily do that. But obviously, you should still always hire us. Says the person.
Great
answer. Doesn't even,
That's really interesting. It's actually paralleling a lot of what I'm seeing in the security awareness space, because the basic security awareness, getting the low-hanging fruit, is just not cutting it anymore. There's going to have to be a lot more role-based and contextual and tailored training for every part of the organization, depending on what their risks are.
Yes. When I worked at, actually, I shouldn't name the place, but I worked at a place that had a whole bunch of security incidents. And when we looked at all of them, the thing that was actually really bad was other teams seeing them, not recognizing it, and then screwing them up really royally, like ruining the chain of custody, accidentally deleting logs, like messing around with things, troubleshooting. Meanwhile, like an active security incident was happening. So we gave like a little tiny custom training like to the devs, to the sysadmins, et cetera. And then they started just handing incidents over immediately. Like they didn't step in it anymore and make a mess for us. And so then when I started doing secure coding training, I'm like, so at the end, we can have a 30-minute of this is what a security incident looks like. This is when to call us. And 100% of companies ever since I did, they're like, yes, we all want that. Yes. Because there are security incidents happening at your company, whether you are aware of them or not, right? Mm-hmm. And you probably would rather know than not know.
Most people.
Most people, yes. So Tanya, I want you to pull out your crystal ball for next year.
Okay.
And I want you to think about what's the biggest challenge for AppSec next year?
Okay, so I have a challenge that's for industry, and then I'll have a challenge for the AppSec boots on the ground. So for industry, we need to consolidate. There can't be 27 different ASOCs and ASPMs on the market. We just can't. Like people are asking me which one's the best one. I'm like, I don't know, but they can't go do 37 proof of concepts to find out, right? So I'm hoping to see a bunch of the API security companies consolidate. I'm hoping to see a bunch of the like metric data types of companies consolidate so that we have a whole bunch of amazing features in one product or platform that we can buy instead of trying to buy six things because that's not affordable. So this is my hope that of what I'm hoping to see. The other thing for the practitioners, I am hoping to see. So what do I think I'm going to see? I think I'm going to see a lot more security incidents. I think I'm going to see people working hard to upskill, people trying to do better always. I think we're going to continue to see people that burn out from our industry. I had two people that I'd known a long time this year quit our industry, like very active community members, just be like, I'm done. I'm so done. I'm exhausted all the time. I'm going back to devving or I'm going back to academia. And I'm just, we can't keep burning people out. So what I'm hoping to see is more work-life balance. I'm hoping to see us upskilling people and investing in our teams so that they can actually do more, but not by working evenings and weekends. Does that make sense?
Completely.
And if we can also consolidate tools life could be less complicated, if that makes sense. And that scales too, right? If you have to deploy, if you have to roll out a tool, one tool versus six tools, your life is better.
Yeah. It's a great vision. That's awesome.
Yeah. I hear that from so many people. I talk to a lot of executives and they're just sick and tired of just having hundreds of tools to sort through. And they just don't have time to evaluate all of them. And what's funny is that a lot of them just don't have much from a differentiation perspective, right? They're all pretty much the same thing. So you really have to struggle to find out what makes your product different or better than the other. And it's getting hard.
Yeah. I also feel like, too, sometimes it's not obvious when you talk to the salesperson what's different. And it's not till you get to that proof of concept stage where you realize, oh, this is so not going to work. Like there was like, I'm not going to name it because it's very negative, but there was like a tool I looked at last year that sounded so cool until I realized each team would have to write 80 pages of code to implement it. Oh, well, that's not happening. And then there was another tool in 2021 that was innovative. It's super exciting. And after 3 months, we still couldn't install it. And my boss was like, this is for one app. And if it's 3 months worth of meetings and you still can't install it, what am I going to have you doing this until you retire, Tanya? Just installing this one tool? Am I going to pay $12 million to have you roll out this $50,000 tool? And it didn't click for me until he said that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. But the sales team kept telling me like, oh, just click these buttons and this. I'm like, except that's not what's happening. Right. And so the time it takes to do a proof of concept is so worth it, rather than buying and then it not working out so well.
So what kind of things do you have coming up? Talks, conferences? I know there's that book back there, which we've promoted on the show. I'm interested to hear if you've got a second edition coming out, maybe.
I am working on the sequel called Alice and Bob Learn Secure Coding, and I'm on chapter 5, and I'm so far behind. My publisher is being extremely polite, but very also like, Tanya. And I was supposed to be done writing it in June, which clearly I'm not, because I'm not even quite at the halfway mark. There's three sections and I finished the first section and I just started the second section. And it's going to be just as weird as the first book, with like stories and diagrams and pictures and like Alice and Bob have things happen to them for better or for worse. Alice is going to try to edit everyone's documents without permission.
I just hope Alice and Bob don't get together, because
that'll be weird. Yeah. Yeah.
No, they're not going to get together. Alice is so out of Bob's league.
As it should be, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
But so I'm working on that, but I suspect it won't be until at least halfway through next year that it gets released. And that's if I get the writing time that I'm hoping to get. And then I am thinking in January, actually, we're probably going to open the SEMGRAP Academy, which is pretty exciting. And then I'm finally going to get to start to just create lots of new content. So January, I'm going to be doing my first SEMGRAP rule writing training. Ooh. And that's going to be at NDC Security. And so assuming that goes well, then I'm going to start doing it in lots of places. And then I'm not the only person anymore at SEMGRAP, right? So there's a bunch of people who I believe are going to also be offering the training at various types of community events and, of course, to customers. And so then we want to make an on-demand course of how to do that. And then it's like how to triage and prioritize your vulnerabilities and then, again, make a course on it. So, and we're going to practice a lot on customers. Thank you, customers.
Hey.
And like, do the training a whole bunch of times. And then once all the bugs are ironed out, then record it and release. And we want to do a lot of like hands-on types of stuff, but also still like program management, how to get better metrics. And because I feel like if you just show this is how you do this with SEMGRAP and that's all we teach, we'll only attract customers. Versus if we teach all of application security, DevSecOps, incident response, like all sorts of different topics, but that you need to know those things too, we'll track lots and lots of people. And then some of them will become customers, which is why they're willing to hire me and do this. But my goal is to move the industry forward, right? And SEMGRAP gives a lot of stuff away for free because they want that too. And so it's nice to have investors that believe in our woo-woo, because a lot of investors are like, I want 10x tomorrow, right? And so having them be patient and like let us do that is like really good, because not all investors are cool with that. And with like all of, like the super downfall of 2022, like a lot of investors pulled back on a lot of things, right? Like it's like no more education, no more community events, no more sponsorships, no more this. Whereas like we're like tripling down basically on community and education. And that's really exciting. Awesome. And I'm hoping we can make a positive difference.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Well, Tanya, this has been an absolute pleasure, as it always is, to catch up with you on the podcast. Where can our listeners find out more about you and everything you got going on?
So you can go to shehackspurple.ca, and I have a blog and a newsletter and like basically everything ever about me, all my socials are there. And you can, so the SemGrep Academy is not up yet. So I'm trying to think of like a link I can send you to. We have a newsletter, and if you join the SemGrep newsletter, and I'll give you a link to put in your show notes. Basically, joining the SemGrep newsletter, me and my team write that now. And so it's like lots of content and then invites to all the community events and the trainings and the academy. There'll be obviously a very big invite when that opens. So either following me or SemGrep on socials or the newsletters will get you everything you need.
All right, Tanya. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. And we'll talk to you again probably next year sometime.
At your next level.
Yeah, at your next level, right?
Hopefully when my next book comes out, I could come on the show again.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me, both of you.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.